Allison.
God bless that ministry. And again, like, that's what this is about. We want to bless people who are out there working in the name of Jesus, doing things where we can provide and help and resource them, pray over them. So yeah, again, if you don't know much about our Dollar Club, you can get on our website and find out more. But all we do is we ask all of our givers, all the people that give here, to just give one more dollar above what you normally give per month. And we collect all those dollars. And then we choose, you know, we choose ministries, people in need, or things that we see around the community. And we want to bless them in the name of Jesus. So hopefully you find out more information about that, see more stories on our website. And again, we'll have another one next month for you to watch. Hey, before we get to the message, I do want to talk about something. I want to give an opportunity for quite a few of you in here this morning. So in July, we launched three services, okay, in July. And if you look around, God's growing us, okay? He keeps growing us. And over the last couple months, here's what's going on. So I think by now, all of us have kind of settled in on the service that we are attending. And here's what's going on. And we knew this. We talked about this. In this service, the second service in I-45, we're beyond our capacity in every area. So we're beyond our capacity here. There are people in the next steps room right now watching, and in the lobby, parking, and also in all of our ministry areas. We're like full. And so it's hard for us to accommodate everybody. And here's the bigger thing for this second service. This is the most attractive service for new people, for visiting people, for people who want to come and check out a church. And here's the thing, we just ran out of room. We don't have room to accommodate them, and we don't want them to come in and then be turned away or feel turned off by all of the stuff that's going on. So here's where we're at. Right now in this service, we have a need to open up around 100 to 150 seats, all right? And so here's what we're asking over the next several weeks to however long it's going to take. We are asking at least 50 households, which is you, I'm looking at you, 50 households, single, married, family, not family, to make a commitment, and I'll put the QR code up here. We're going to be showing this, so and I know that some of you need to think about this or talk about this, and make a decision to go from attending here at 9:45 to either attending at the 8:15 or the 11:30, and we're doing this in a forum because we really do need a specific amount of people to actually say I'm making the commitment. So this is a great opportunity to serve the church if you're a River Ridger. We really do need to open up these seats. If you look around, it's not going to get lighter as we get into the Christmas season. It's going to get heavier, and we have plenty of room in our other two services. So we're asking that you make a commitment. And one of the things I want to say really quick is this isn't one of the things where we'll go for a few weeks and then come back. Like, we're asking for you to settle in on one of these services, either 8:15 or 11:30, so that we can open up and make this a little bit more accommodating for new folks and visitors that want to come. Okay, so you'll be seeing this over the next several weeks. So scan the code, get on the form, fill it out, make a commitment. If you are going to do that, we are asking that we have a record of you doing this for a few reasons, but we just ask that we do so we can actually get a number to say we got 100 to 150 people that are opening up seats for us in the name of Jesus to allow the room to grow in this service, okay? Everybody got it? Everybody got your assignment? Yeah? All right, know what to talk about at lunch. All right, here we go. Well, we are in week number 3 of our series in the book of James. So let's go ahead and get to it. If you got your Bibles or electronics, go ahead and grab those, get those out, and open them up to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. One day, a guy came up to Jesus, and he asked him, he said, Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, here it is, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. And he said, and the second one is just like the first, love your neighbor as yourself. There are no greater commandments than these. And it wasn't too long after that where Jesus died on a cross, and then 3 days later, God raised him from the dead, okay? And in the very first, like, church meeting with the very first Christians, here's what Jesus told them to do. He said, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And the number one thing that he commanded was love God and love people. There's no greater commandment than those. And so this brings us to James chapter 2 today. And by the way, this is we're right in the middle of the series. We've got 3 weeks after this. And so this is a great time to bring your physical Bible with you, to bring it with you, to mark it up, underline, see what God does in there so you can have kind of a reminder in your Bible. And I always want to encourage people when we go through a book of the Bible, we do this every semester, to read along in the book with us, like to read along chapter at a time or paragraph time, book at a time, however you want to do this. And it's just a great thing to be doing. In fact, last week we talked about how important it is to be in God's word daily for the life of a believer. And it's interesting because when you look at any survey done on the Christian life, here's what you will see consistently every time. One of the most consistent things that you see Christians say is that they want their faith to be deeper and they want to have their faith to have more meaning, but they can't seem to find it. And here's the thing, but an overwhelming percentage of those same people do not read their Bible on a consistent basis. And I think there's a connection there. I really do. And that's what we talked about last week. So I just think it's a great opportunity as we go through the book of James. There's 5 chapters in James. You can read a chapter a day and still have 2 days off and read the whole book and come in here and just see if God speaks to you differently or something like that. And James, it's a really easy read. It's a practical book because here's what James really shows us. This is what James gets at. He goes, okay, this is what your life will look at like if you believe in the gospel. That's what James is all about. And if you're here and you don't know what I mean when I say the gospel is literally translated good news, right? There are 2 root words to this, God, which means good, and spell, which means news or story. And so when we say the gospel, what we mean in here is the gospel of Jesus Christ or the good news of Jesus. And here's the good news if you don't know what it is. And if you catch anything today, this is what I want you to catch. And by the way, Christians, this is for you as well, because I think sometimes we tend to forget what the actual good news is. But here's the good news. There is a sustaining joy in knowing that Jesus forgives our sins, past, present, and future, through his life, death, and resurrection from the dead. And through obedience to God and his word, we get to live a fulfilling life of freedom here and now with Jesus in our lives. And we get to spend eternity with the God who loves us and created. That's pretty good news, everybody, right? That's really good news. But here's the catch. Here's the catch. See, some of what I just said is a guarantee, and some of what I just said is actually entirely optional to believers. So salvation is guaranteed to anyone who puts their faith and trust and belief in Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins. With his death on the cross and resurrection from the dead, believing in that can forgive them. And that is guaranteed. Salvation is guaranteed through belief in that. But blessing, freedom, and fulfillment are based on what you do with obedience as a believer in Jesus. So blessing, freedom, and fulfillment is available, but not everybody takes it. Not everybody does that. And that's what we've been talking about over the last couple weeks. And so today, James is gonna kind of turn the corner here, and he's gonna talk to the church. And here's what he's gonna tell us, okay? So he's gonna say, okay, now, as people who have been changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ, here's what he's going to say today. Here is the kind of community that you should be. And it's the bottom line this morning, and it's actually in verse 1 of James chapter 2. We'll read it and get to the bottom line. Let's read verse 1 here. And here's what he says. He goes, so my brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, must not show favoritism. So James is telling the church, and he's telling us as well. He goes, okay, if you want to be a church going after Jesus, then don't show bias, don't show preference, don't show favoritism. That the way that we are supposed to love others cannot and should not be determined by economic class, age, skin color, gender, clothing, how attractive they are, none of that. And so here it is, if you want to write this down, if you want to get your notes out there, write it down. Here's what he's saying. So we cannot show favoritism. We cannot show favoritism. And so what's going to follow here after this one principle that he gives us, show no favoritism. James is going to give us an example that I'm pretty sure probably happened in the church that he was writing to in his day. And at first, you know, as I read it, I didn't really think much of it. But after the story, he gives us some words of wisdom that really hit home with me. So we're going to read his example, and then we'll talk about it. So let's pick this up in verse 2. So he goes like this. He goes, okay, so suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy old clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, hey, here's a good seat for you, but say to the poor man, hey, you stand there, sit on the floor by my feet, have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? All right, so see what I mean? We could kind of read this a little bit and just think, like, as a church, at least I'm hoping we all say this, to say, like, well, that's not what we really see here. I mean, we don't really see that, because what this is like uber rich guy coming in and everybody knows it, right? And then all of a sudden what you see is a guest services team coming in, like, get out of the way, sit at this seat, right? Like, that's what you see. And then somebody who's not very well off comes in, we're like, sit in the back. Like, and so I'm hoping at least we can say, well, we don't see that. Like, that's an extreme that just really doesn't happen. And so we can look at this and think, well, we're fine. Like, we don't do that kind of thing. But I think that James is getting to something a little bit deeper. So let's think about this a little bit more, because here's what I want to say. So even though we may not see the extreme of it, here's what does happen. And it's a tension that exists here today. So for most of us here, there is something in you and there's something in me that may not physically discriminate like James is saying, although some Christians do. Some Christians absolutely do. But what we may do, even though we don't do that in the extreme way, what we may do is we may allow something in you and me to jump to a conclusion. And we may jump to a fast conclusion. A lot of times it's a fast conclusion with no prior knowledge, no background, no story to go off of. And we do it, we jump to this quick conclusion based on a bunch of things that, when you step back out and think about it, are the things that are least able to help you determine anything at all about that person. And what James says is, by doing that, jumping to a quick conclusion, you're judging them. You're judging them and you become judges of people. Listen, based on something that God doesn't even do with you. And so I know we don't want to say that we do it. Like, we don't want to say that we do it, but we need to see that within us is there is a tendency to show partiality. Hey, listen, that within us, at least at minimum, like, we do have a tendency to gravitate towards a certain person or a certain group. And listen, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with gravitating towards certain people, but it's when we gravitate away from people, James says, no, you can't do that. That you're not being the church of Jesus that way. In fact, we'll see in a minute, he doesn't only just say that it's frowned on by God, he says you're committing sin against God if you do that. So James says, here's what he's saying, everybody, you gotta knock this off. If you wanna be a church that goes after Jesus, you cannot do, because this is an attitude that is actually a part of our society. But if we can think in terms of how God made us and what he does with us, we can overcome this. That's what he's saying. But the problem that we have, and this is why we still see it in our church today, the problem for so many Christians is when it comes to people, if you want to write this down, is we just don't value the same way that God values. We don't value the way God values. Because here's the truth. The truth is, it's not just the rich poor thing with us, is it? It's not. It's a bunch of other things. It's all kinds of other things that people that do that make us quick to judge, right? Render a decision about, declare them less than, or hey, not in my community. And so here's what I did, I made a list, okay? I made a list to think about, but here's my disclaimer, okay? I am not talking about you. I'm talking about other Christians, okay? So for you, you can just sit back and relax and just be really disappointed in those other Christians, okay? So come with me, I made a list, here we go. Some of us, though, do resent rich people. Like, you look at their cars coming in here and you look at something flashy, and without knowing them at all, you've made a decision. You made a conclusion, some judgments. Some of us do look down on people who have less than us. That you're thinking, well, gosh, it doesn't seem like they're motivated. It doesn't seem like they don't work as hard as I work. And so, listen, why would I help them if they're not even helping themselves? And you render a decision. Some Christians judge others by not dressing up for church, right? They do. True story, this is absolutely a true story. A few years back, somebody came up to me and they were so excited to introduce me to their friend who was visiting, and they said, "This is my pastor." And that person looked at me up and down and went, "Oh." And I'm like, I wasn't wearing a belly shirt or nothing. Like, it was, that was in the washing machine that day, okay? Like, but it happens, right? You, like, people make conclusions because you're wearing a hat or a t-shirt to church. Crazy. Some of us also on the other side, though, do make conclusions about people who dress up for church, because we're like, God, they must be those self-righteous Christians. They're always mad at everybody. They don't belong here, not in this church. Here's one. And honestly, I don't even know if I'll get through all this statement without the box that you're going to put these folks in. Here's one. There are Christians who are attracted to the same sex, but they made their choice to follow and obey Jesus and not act on that attraction, that they're going to remain holy and pure in the name of the gospel, because they declared that their allegiance and their primary identity is based on what they believe about the gospel and not how they feel about people. But you've already labeled them. They're already in a box, in your opinion. Some of us have predetermined conclusions about people with different ethnicity, different skin color, different background, different political affiliation, and I could go on and on and on, but here's my point. My point is, you will not come here and not come across people who you just have a difference with. It's gonna happen, whether it's something external, whether it's appearance, things going on, whatever it is, and here it is, everybody, with no information that you have available, no information about how God's even affecting them, where they even are in the process of Jesus and the gospel actually changing them, without knowing the basics of their story or their testimony, you put them in a box. And imagine God seeing this, seeing all this in the church, and he's going, "Wait, what? Wait, so you're putting people in categories and conclusions based on that?" And it's because some of us just don't value the same way that God values. We don't see with the same eyes that God has. And listen, I know this is not an easy message for us. Like, this is uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable to think about how much we judge others, or it's really uncomfortable to think about how predetermined we really are without admitting it. I know it's not comfortable, okay? But listen, in order to fix the problem, we gotta expose the wound a little bit, everybody, okay? So here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna read on and find some things that we can use to help us be the community of Jesus followers that God wants us to be. So let's keep reading, verse 5. So here's what he says. He goes, "So listen, my dear brothers and sisters, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he's promised those who love him? But you've dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are blaspheming the noble name of him to whom you belong? If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself," that's what Jesus reminded us of, "you're doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin, and you are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. So he who said, 'You shall not commit adultery,' also said, 'You shall not commit murder.' So if you do not commit adultery, but you do commit murder, you become a lawbreaker." So he says, "So speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom." Because here it is, everybody. We got to pay attention. "Judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment." Let me say that one again. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Okay, so there's a lot in here, but here's what I want to go with the rest of our time. I want to look, there's two things in here that James is pointing us to that will help us overcome the temptation of showing favoritism. Here's the first one that I hope you write down, and here it is. Like, see, when I get to my identity, here's what's going to happen. See, when my identity is understood, then partiality will be undone. That's as simple as it could be. When I really understand my identity in Christ, then there's gonna be no more room for partiality in my life. And so let's talk about this. So I wanna back up here to verse 7, because James says something about us that is really profound here, okay? Here's what he says. He says, "Are they not the ones who are blaspheming the noble name of him to whom you belong?" And the ESV actually says, "An honorable name by what you're called." I love that. An honorable name by what you are called. So in here, I want you to come with me a little bit, because in here, there's a characteristic here about the rich and the poor that we cannot miss, because he's talking about us as well. So here it is. Think about this like today. Think about this. If you are poor, like poor, you don't have a lot of money, but you marry in to this extremely wealthy family, right? Think like, you know, King of England kind of family, and they like are gracious with their money. They bless their whole family with all that, generous with their wealth. Your status would change right away, would it not? It would, right? It would absolutely change, okay? And here it is, everyone. See, one of the keys to who you are in Christ is that the gospel says the same thing happens to you on the day of your salvation. That when you accept and believe in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, and you turn from sin, your sinful life, and you turn to the holiness and righteousness of God, here's what happens. You are not only completely forgiven and eternally redeemed, guess what? You're adopted into the family of God, and your status changes like that. Isn't that amazing? I said your status changes like that. Come on, somebody. Like, that's an amazing truth of the gospel. Thanks for the one clap, okay? They get it. And here's the thing. There's another place that James talks about this. If you're in your Bible, flip to chapter 1. Go to chapter 1 because you need to underline this, because we're going to be in verse 9 and 10. Because when you read it with the eyes that we just have this perspective, it is amazing, okay? And because here it is. James 1, 9 and 10 gives us one of the best proofs about what the gospel of Jesus does that nothing else can do with us, okay? So here we go. Look at verse 9. Here's what it says. So he says, so let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation, and the rich in his humiliation, all right? I love how the NLT puts it. Here's how the NLT says. He goes, so believers who are poor have something to boast about, for God has honored them, and those who are rich should boast that God has humbled them. So here's something to think about with this, all right? That the minute you accept the gospel, here's what's going on. What's going on is that you have this counterbalancing reality going on, this position, this counterbalancing position. So you have a low position because of sin. You're a sinner. You have this low position, but you at the same time have this high position because of Christ. So James is saying this. I hope you come with me on this. So he's saying that the poor Christians are both low and high, and the successful Christians are both high and low. And so here it is. So what is true about you and what is true about me is this, that it doesn't matter if you're rich or poor when it comes to the gospel. The only thing that matters is Jesus invading our lives. Can I get a good amen out there? Yes? Are you following what he's saying? It's profound. It's profound. And so he's saying, if you're well off, so he's saying if you're poor, actually, that listen, even though you lack here, like you just can't get a leg up, right? You feel this wave after wave just nailing you in this life. Here's what James is saying. James is saying where you will most benefit in your life with the gospel is to understand you have a high position when it comes to Christ. Listen, you have an honorable name. You have an honorable name in Jesus. You are called by an honorable, you are somebody in the kingdom of God. And then he's also saying, but if you're well off, right? If you find your life pretty easy compared to other people, which by the way is most of us in this room, okay? He's saying, that's not what makes you blessed. Being well off isn't what makes you blessed at all. In fact, even though you are adopted into the high position too, where you would most benefit in your life is to understand your lowly position. Here it is, you need a handout too. You need a handout. You need charity from God. And it came in the form of Jesus on the cross. Do you see what he's saying right here? So the gospel, here's what the gospel is saying. When it comes to earthly riches, the gospel says some people get nothing and some people get a lot. But that's not the proof of the gospel. You got to catch this. The proof of the gospel is that both people find true identity that matters because the gospel lifts up the poor and humbles the rich. Simultaneously, status that the world sees as it is gets thrown out and identity takes over. Identity takes over. And so here's why this is so important, everybody. This is why it's so important. Because, and this is what a lot of people do, if your identity is not attached to both of those realities that we just talked about, then you will end up lining up with something altogether different and wrong. Like, so you may believe in Jesus, but walk in here with a mentality that is not Jesus-minded. Happens all the time. And so another way to put it like this. So it's possible to give the right answer and be living out of the wrong life, everybody. It's absolutely possible. And I'm telling you, this is why we see favoritism so present in the church and in our lives. And this is why a place that should be so full of mercy has folks who don't show mercy to people at all. But when you can see yourself through the identity that God gives you, when you can see yourself for who you really are in Christ, here's what James is saying, you'll have mercy. Amen, everybody? That's what he's saying. Here's a second thing that we have to also understand is we've got, if we want to be a church that's going after Jesus, we have to know the difference between acceptance and approval. We have to know the difference between acceptance. So listen, we have to hear this. We have to hear this. There is a huge difference between acceptance and approval. Like, you can love someone without endorsing what they do, without condoning one thing they're doing. He may be doing something completely 180 from the Word of God all the way, and it's very clear, but you can still love him where he is. It's okay. It's okay. Because here it is. Listen, everybody. Embracing isn't endorsing. Let me say that again. Embracing someone doesn't mean you're endorsing. We don't compromise one thing about the gospel when we do this. And this is why this one is so important for us as a church, okay? Because here, and you can determine whether or not you want this to be your church, okay? But here at this place, all right? Here at this place, here's what we do. Where we worship God and his holiness and his right, we go after him. Amen, everybody? We go after God. And when we work out our faith in Jesus, that he is our salvation, we work out on that together. We have to have unity. We have to have unity around the essentials. Listen, that Jesus is Lord. He's the only way. He's the only way to heaven. That's it. That's it and that's all. That the Bible is the literal word of God. And that sin is a real thing. You got to deal with sin in your life, okay? We all agree on those things as we go after God. But we also have to get this as well. Okay, everybody here, you got to come with me. This is also a place where people, believe it or not, are still growing and just understanding Jesus and understanding sin and understanding faithfulness. Okay, so don't be appalled that everyone isn't at your holy level. Okay, like that's all I want to say, all right? Just give us a break, man. We're working on it. We get it. You're awesome. Okay? We totally get it. Like, we feel it from you. And maybe one day we'll get to your sanctified holy level. Amen. Like, we'll get there one day. But if you could just embrace us first. Can you just love us first where we are? And listen, I joke about that a little bit, but do you know how many Christians are made to feel that way? Like they don't belong here until they get everything figured out. That's not the gospel. That is not the gospel. And if you're here and that's the way you feel, I want you to hear it from the pastor of this church. That is not what we go after here at River Ridge Church. Because that's not the gospel. The gospel says you belong before you ever start behaving the right way. The gospel says that grace meets you where you are, not what they think, where you they think you should be. Come on, somebody. That's the gospel. Listen, I'll tell you a story that proves this. One day Jesus was walking down the street and a group of guys, these religious guys who got it all together, oh, amen, right? And they bring a woman to him that was obviously caught in adultery. No question about it. It was wrong. It was a sin. She was caught in adultery. They're like, what are you going to do, Jesus? What are you going to do? You know, it says that you should stone her to death. And here's what Jesus said. Everybody knows the story, right? He goes, hey, whoever doesn't have sin, go ahead and throw the first stone. And what happened? What happened to everybody? What happened? They walked away. Okay, now let me ask you this question. What did Jesus do? Did he approve of what she did? No. He didn't say, well, I'm fine with whatever she did. No. But here's what he did do. He accepted the woman and restored her dignity first before he addressed the center of her life. See, I just think that we're so quick to judge than to love everybody. Jesus did the exact opposite. He loved first. He dared to love first. He risked to love first. And then he said, go sin no more. Daughter, go sin no more. Look at what Romans 15:7 says to us. This is what it says to us. So we got to welcome one another as Christ welcomed you. That's for the glory of God. Gang, we got to be free from this. We got to be free. It is so freeing, man. Like, here's what is freeing. This is what I wanted. And some of you, I pray the Holy Spirit works on your heart, okay? Here's what is so freeing. Guess what you don't have to do? You don't have to go around approving of what everybody does. Just be free. It's not your job. It's above your pay grade in the name of Jesus Christ. You know what you are commanded to do? Love them. Jesus literally said that. He said, don't approve everything. You love them. Because that's a command from him. And doing that, loving them, listen to me, loving them, really loving them, not loving them, loving them. Loving them does not imply that God is cool with that habit, that lifestyle, that thing they're doing. Do you know why so many of us struggle doing that? Do you know why so many of us struggle with loving people no matter what? I think fear drives the boat for so many because we're afraid that acceptance means approval to them. We're so afraid. And then you take no risk in loving people in the gospel. You tell me what's going to bring them to Jesus more? Hating on them or loving them? Come on, somebody. We miss that so much. But it's real easy to pass this, gang. Here's why it's so easy to pass. Again, if you're still hung up on there, I get it. But here's, James helps us. Here's what he says to you if you want to be like that. He goes, okay, fine, fine. Put them in a box. But judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Here it is. So here's what he's saying to you. Okay, so fine. If you want to do that, do that. But I hope you don't ever forget that Jesus accepted you without approving all the dumb stuff you did. And let's consider it the dumb stuff you're still doing, okay? Like he loves you right now. And so can you just extend a little bit of mercy and a little bit of grace for those of us who aren't nailing it all the time in your opinion, right? Man, I think so many Christians, listen to me, you spend so much time on everybody else's sin and you refuse to look at your own. And I'm just telling you, so just extend that grace to others before you sign them off. That's all this is saying. And then I'll end like this. Here's all I want. And just all we got to do is just remember this, okay? There is every single person that's ever existed and ever will exist. Here's the truth about all of us. We are all equally loved by God. And so what I want to tell you this, and here's the thing. We love because he first loved us. You don't even create that love. You're just a steward of God's love. And so who are you to say, that's who I'm going to give love to and that's who I'm not? It's God's. And so who are we to hold that back from anybody? Because here's what I want to tell you so you walk away with something to think about. You will never run into a person who was not created in the image of God. Never. And you will never lock eyes with somebody who Jesus did not die for. Never. And so I just want to tell you, you just got to think that wouldn't you think because of that God desires the church to be more compassionate, more merciful, more loving, more just than people who aren't even believers in the living God who gave us that love and mercy in the first place? And the answer is yes, he does. You bet he does. You bet he does. I want to tell you, when Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself, here's the thing. That's what he meant. Like if you're like, I wonder what he meant. He meant love your neighbor as yourself. So love your rich neighbor. Love your poor neighbor. Love your uppity neighbor. Love the neighbor who mows their lawn at 6 a.m. in the name of Jesus Christ. Okay, like love them. So glad winter's coming, right? Love your Christian neighbor who you're sitting by. And listen, you don't even know some of the differences, but you're already deciding, man, we tear each other down so quickly, everybody. Love your Christian, come on, everybody. Love your Christian neighbor, yeah? We gotta be unified in the right thing. Yeah. Love your atheist neighbor. Love your neighbor with 12 cats. But just stop and think. Here's what I want to stop and think. When you see somebody, whoever it is, you're going to leave this place and you're going to see somebody. Before you see all these categories, all these boxes that you want to put them in, can you just see yourself and see how God has accepted you in the name of Jesus? And then can you just love a little bit differently? Love a little, extend a little bit more grace, a little bit more mercy towards them. Because James says, if we can do that, then you'll be the church that Jesus wants us to be. You'll be the body of Christ. And you can confidently know that you're letting mercy triumph, and we will be the followers going after Jesus. So prayer team, I want to invite the prayer team up. And here's the thing, like this is one of those messages, I just feel it. Like there are some of you right now, like I believe the Holy Spirit has convicted you in this. Like you've been quick to judge, you're not showing mercy. You're focusing on the wrong things. And I'm just telling you, this is what we're up here to do. We have a prayer. And I just want to call on somebody who needs praying for right now. Here's the thing, like if you ask God to forgive you, he will forgive you. But you know, sometimes restoration doesn't happen unless you let somebody pray for you. And so I just want to invite anybody who's, maybe you're stuck in this, maybe you felt like you have been quick to judge and you need someone to pray over you. That's what we want to do. So I don't hesitate, don't wait, just stand up, come get prayed for. We would love to pray for you. Some of you need release from this burden, release from this judgment, release from this partiality that you've been showing. There's no room for it in the gospel. Amen, everybody? There's no room for it in the gospel. Mercy triumphs over judgment. So I just want to invite anybody who wants to be prayed for to come forward. And so with that said, I want to stand everybody up just to make it more comfortable if anybody wants to come forward and get prayed for. Don't wait. Some of you, like the Lord's telling you to come get prayed for and you're hesitating. I can feel it. Just come forward and get prayed for. We got two folks over here. Dina, we'd love to pray for you. So for the rest of us, let's pray. God, we love you. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you that you loved us first. We are just stewards of this love. We don't create that love. Jesus, thank you for making a way for us to find that love. And right now, I just want to ask anybody here, since I talked about the gospel of Jesus Christ, anybody who needs to receive that, maybe you've not fully come into this relationship with Jesus Christ that's available to you. It's a gift from God. It's not anything you do, it's what he did for you. And if your sins have not been forgiven to be eternally redeemed and be made right with God, I just wanna help you in that decision right now. You can make that decision right now. As you stand, you could just pray this. You could pray, God, I know you made me. I see sin in my life. Sin is getting in the way of this relationship with you. Jesus, thank you for coming and dying for my sin to be forgiven. And so I turn from my life of sin. I turn and accept your death is my death and the forgiveness that comes as a result. I just turn my life over to you, God. And so for anybody who prayed that prayer, just I want to welcome you into the kingdom, welcome you into the community of believers. And for the rest of us, God, help us to be a community of believers who love you and who love others well, where people say, man, I don't know that I believe everything about that church, but man, I can see that they go after Jesus really well. And I pray that we are changed as a result of this message today. We walk out of here changed, and it's in Jesus' name that we all pray. And everybody said, come on, amen. Come on, let's give God some glory today. Come on. Man, I hope you walk out there and just don't forget about the people you encounter. If you need prayer, we would love to pray for you. If not, we'll see you next Sunday.